I speak to you today in the name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. In recent days, I've noticed that companies like Apple and Google have been advertising new gadgets, a real-time translation feature on their respective earbuds, the new AirPod and Google Pixel Buds, respectively. They promise, according to these ads, real-time translation from one language to another, with the astounding guarantee that with these products, seamless communication across language barriers is now possible. Now, don't ask me if our overlords at Apple and Google have actually delivered on these claims. I've just seen the ads. And I'm not the biggest technology guy myself. In fact, I'm still suspicious of the Roombas. You mean to tell me that you're really gonna let the robot scoot around supposedly vacuuming your house? Who knows if it's listening, watching, plotting? Ugh. I personally still think the now ancient technology of Google Translate is impressive. They've probably fixed this in particular by now, but a few years back, if you would type in the Greek phrase Kyrie eleison, which is an ancient Christian prayer translating to Lord have mercy, if you would type that into Google Translate and selected Greek, which is modern Greek, it would translate Kyrie eleison to Sir, take it easy. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. Sir, take it easy. That's a translation. We find pleas to God for mercy all throughout Scripture, and particularly in the language of the Psalms, and I've taken a few here. From Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, after thy great goodness. According to the multitude of thy mercies, do away mine offenses. From 123, even so, our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy upon us. From Psalm 4, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast set me at liberty when I was in trouble. Have mercy upon me and hearken to my prayer. And from Psalm 102, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for it is time that thou have mercy upon her. Yea, the time has come. For the psalmist, at least, and I think in the whole tradition of Scripture, there's a power and assurance in calling to God for mercy. Because when we call to God for mercy, we're doing several things at once that are pleasing to God. First, we're admitting that we can't do it all by ourselves. We're trapped in our sins and our finiteness, our weaknesses and limitations, and we need help from the outside. This is the first step towards turning to God, and that is always pleasing to him. Second, we're affirming that God is by his very nature merciful. God's property is to have mercy. God is kind. He loves us. If I were going to offer an alternate explanation to Kyrie eleison, I wouldn't say, Sir, take it easy. I would perhaps say, God, we know that you are kind, and we need your help right now. With this in mind, our gospel lesson appointed for today, 10 men are afflicted by leprosy, and they approach our Lord, keeping a distance outside of an unnamed town, and from that distance they shout, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. These outcasts, remarkably recognizing Jesus for who he was at a distance, they recognize that Jesus has the power to heal and that he's worthy of the same cries for mercy that King David cried out to God in the Psalms. They must also recognize that David, or like David recognized, that Jesus possesses God's character, which is merciful, loving kindness. And so they join in the refrain of the Psalms, now directing their cries towards Jesus. And Jesus, seeing them, simply tells them, go and show yourselves to the priests. So in Levitical law, it was the priests who had the authority to declare someone clean or free of disease. The authority of the priest wasn't what made someone healed. All the priest could do was simply declare that the healing had taken place and that the former outcast could now rejoin society. Jesus, on the other hand, by his word alone, is sufficient for healing. His direction to show themselves to the priests was not only a declaration to the 10 outcasts of their healing, but it actually caused the healing. In Jesus' words are authority, and Jesus' words are power of healing for soul and body. And so the 10 men follow Jesus' command. They go to the priest. Again, not because the priest had the authority to heal, but because Jesus does. And in this profound act of faith and obedience, they find themselves healed as they're walking towards the priests. By Christ's word, in faith, 10 men that day found healing. 10 men cried to Jesus for mercy and received just that. But our gospel reading narrows in on just one of those 10 men, the lone man who, of the 10, came back and worshiped Jesus. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. And Jesus, seeing the man who returned, and seeing that he was a Samaritan, asked them, well, were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? So 10 men correctly identified the merciful character of God. 10 men correctly saw that this same character and authority was to be found in Jesus. And 10 men followed him in faith. One man, the Samaritan, a foreigner, who was an outcast in more ways than just one, who was shunned not just by his leprosy, but by his very being, he understood truly that he has to go back and worship and give thanks to God. The priests had the authority to declare clean what was already clean. They had the authority to lead worship, an authority derived in perpetuity from Moses and Aaron. This was from a time in the wilderness when God appeared to the Israelites in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of smoke, or a pillar of fire, and his presence dwelt in the Ark of the Covenant, in the tabernacle. And now, the Ark of the Covenant was lost. That near presence of God must have seemed like a distant memory in history. But now Jesus, who's fully God incarnate, divinity made manifest in flesh, the source from which the priests got their authority in the first place, was present as a person. All 10 men went to see the priests. The Samaritan went back to the great high priest, our great high priest. Having that initial act of faith was good, and all 10 men were made clean and then declared clean. But one man wanted truly to dwell with God, to be where he was, and to offer him worship. To this man, Jesus said, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Crying to God for mercy and trusting in his loving kindness is good and it's true, and we should always be doing it. But thanks be to God that here in this place we worship Jesus, who is truly present here. He comes to us in the Eucharist at the table, bread and wine. And all the glory that was in the Ark of the Covenant, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, body and blood. We, like the Samaritan, are given the opportunity today to offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving in the very presence of Jesus, to know him, to receive him, to taste him, to be with him, to love him who first loved us. Christ is in our midst. He's a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. And he wants to be with us. He wants to be with you. And we never, ever take that privilege for granted. Amen.